But what you said got me to something. So what you're talking about is what we know as cosmic consciousness. So there's three states of consciousness, which is you can kind of look at it at three levels of thinking. You have simple, right, which you can kind of look at as survival. And that's just your awareness of the physical world, right? I understand this is a building, that's a car, right? This is a couch. This is your simple awareness of the physical 3D reality. Then you have self, right? Who am I? I'm this observer having this experience, right? That's your self-consciousness that we have. Then we go to cosmic, right? And see, race keeps us in self-awareness, right? That's why we talk about double consciousness. Not only I have the self-awareness, I have to be aware of how you view me because of your views towards me and how the world view me in this. So a lot of us get stuck in just self-consciousness. Then when you ascend, you go to cosmic. And cosmic is your awareness of the higher world, beyond self, your unity, right, of the universe, right? Those mystical states of consciousness. You look at those different people, they talk about doing ayahuasca and having these visions and going to India and Peru and, you know, having this vision, I want to go to Mars and change the world. You talk about cosmic states of consciousness like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm going to create a nation within a nation. People that ascend to those levels, right? Those are people that exist particularly to create change on the planet, which means that what comes with them is going to be disruption. Because technology is a force of disruption. You create something new, it's going to replace a bunch of other different things. AI is a force of complete disruption. Creativity is a form of disruption. If you got that cosmic consciousness, you on the planet looking, what can I change? You're like a kid, like, what's not here? Why is everything red over there? Look, can we change that to white real quick? Can we change that to black real quick? Like, your whole goalpost is to disrupt. I don't like these rules. Y'all, we got to sit on the couch. Can we stand on the couch? Why we got a couch anyway? Why I got to do things this way? So you maintain, and as a child, we come in with that, right? We come in with these questions of why. Why everything got to be like this? Why they got to be like this, Pops? Why got to be like this, Mom? Why we got to do this? Why we got to do that? And society tells us the answers and tells us to stop questioning, and we cut off from that cosmic consciousness. And now all we doing is we're stuck with either the consciousness of the physical world or our self-consciousness. Right. And some people get to political consciousness. Right. You start or economic consciousness. Right. I understand how the economics affect me in this world. Right. And how I can create economics that affect this world and how my political vote or how this political person affects me and how their thinking is going to affect this world and how it's a trickle down effect. But most people don't play in their imagination, and it requires a level of wealth to do that. I see a lot of Asian children. They come to this country and they have cosmic goals. They have goals that's based on their joy a lot of times. It's not survival goals. I need to get this job to make this amount of money. They about to go to school for 4 years to learn photography. You know what I'm saying? And they ain't even gonna be the greatest photographers. But this is what makes me happy, right? This is what I can contribute because that's the joy economy. And we don't get to play in the joy economy, right? We survive. And so my brother Keenan was the one who said that, I believe he said since, what year was it? But there hasn't been like no new job creation in like the last decade for real, right? And then when you look at the fact that AI is coming to steal jobs, right? And there needs to be a reskilling of America, but then it's going to create a bunch of new jobs. So back to that, the idea of like decolonizing the future is like we have to have our own ideas about the future.
Well, how do you think, because it's like for me, right? I've always only thought on that. Would you say cosmic level?
Yeah, cosmic consciousness.
That's always been my vibe, right? That's always been my vibe. It's like, I don't want to do something that has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, let's take InvestFest for instance, right?
Mm.
Okay, there's business conferences, right? But I'm not trying to get 1,000 people. I want to get 20,000 right. people.
I know you imagined 200,000 before.
So it's like, you know, that's a crazy idea. Even the name festival, right? Like everything is just like, if we're not going to do something that has never been done, what's the point of doing it?
Mm.
Right? Because everybody has done a lot of things, right? But it's not just about making money. It's about really stamping your name in history. And I feel like, you know, when you watch the movie Troy and Achilles, he told the kid the kid was about to fight like this big warrior. He was like 8 feet tall. And the kid was like, yo, I would never want to fight him. Like, I would never. I would be scared to fight him. He said, that's why nobody's going to remember your name.
Yeah.
And I feel like that to me, I spoke to me. Because I understood that. Like, everybody was like, yo, why would you do this? This is so risky. It's like, that's why nobody's ever going to remember your name. Not that you're doing something for history to remember your name, but if you're not trying to leave your name in history or leave something that you've done as a benchmark, now this is the bar. You know what I'm saying? So it's like now we set the bar because we normalize things in real time. So when you look at something, it's like, okay, well, now 450 business vendors come every year, right? 20,000 people, which is 50,000 over the course of the weekend. That's how these festivals calculated, like how many people come every single day, right? Billionaires, highest level of not just our culture, but society, right, have come to a place in Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta hasn't had anything culturally, annually, that was really relevant like that since Freaknik, right? That was 25 years ago.
Freaky, yes.
That's a fact. So if you look at something like that, and it's like, all right, no, you pull that off with self-funded.
Yeah.
Right? These are all relationships that we just know and other friends and just making, it's like.
So that's not state-funded.
So technically that would be considered impossible to do, right? But it's like.
But each state, I believe, actually have funds when you bring value to the city.
The state, definitely. I'm saying it would be impossible to do just to do an event like that. It's because it hasn't been done. Not from our community, from anybody.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
100%. Forbes never did an event like that. They've tried to do an event.
They ain't got the culture.
I'm not even just the culture. I'm just saying humanity. Right? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, no, I'm just being honest.
Up the stakes.
but it's normalized because we can never fully appreciate. We can't appreciate things.
Like that. I got humanity.
We can't appreciate things in the moment.
Yeah. No, we don't appreciate nothing. When you look at InvestFest and you look at your platform, and many platforms out there, it's a lot of, got to acknowledge the beauty of the times that we live in with so many people able to create these communities and do beautiful things. And the thing you got to acknowledge is how hard it is to do. On the outside, it's like you get a car delivered with a ribbon on top, and you just focus on how beautiful that car is. A person could have worked 10 years before that car was delivered every single day through all of their emotions, blood, sweat, and tears, through the impossible, through depression, through all of it, and they finally ready to purchase that vehicle, right? Everybody's going to look at the vehicle. The beauty was the process because that's what made that person who they were. The vehicle only represents, right, a product of that grit, a product of the effort and the intellect and the mindset, right, and the abilities and the gifts that they have being represented in reality. So when I look at InvestFest, I look at the process. And if you want to understand how hard something is to do, try to do it.
Facts.
You know,
facts.
Try to do it.
Facts.
You go realize, it might be something special about these brothers because they is doing something I ain't seen done before, and it's something I definitely can't do.
Facts.
You know? So for me, I get inspired when I see people do things I can't do. Man, I want to do that too, or I want to help, or I want to be a part of. I think that's the beauty. And I think that's why so many people show up. I think there's so many people who appreciate and understand the power of this moment, the time that we're living in, the necessity for it. Because you are one of the founders, but this is bigger than you now. There's families that you affect that you don't know the names of.
For sure.
Right? And that's the beauty when somebody shows up and they like, Rashad, I don't know I exist, but you had this effect on my son that's now an entrepreneur that found direction in life. Right, that learned some information, and I thought that he was gonna be locked up, dead, or in jail, and now he come in talking to me about stocks.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of these things where we was in Ghana and we spoke to one of our friends in Ghana, and he was saying that before we knew each other, he went to InvestFest because he purchased a VIP ticket. Right, he wanted to see it for himself. He's from Ghana, and he was hearing about this thing. He went last year, and he was like, "I just want to just experience this," and he was like, you know, what caught his attention the most was not the celebrities, not the performance, was not, you know, any of the panels. He was like, he was walking around and he saw people with notepads. He He saw people drinking coffee, handing out business cards with each other. He saw a marketplace in a sense, right? Of 20,000. He was like, he said, I never in life would ever think that I would see this happen. Mm. Where 20,000 black people are interfacing with each other, communicating. There's no dysfunction. They exchanging business cards. Or I'm a lawyer. I do real estate. Let's connect. Or I live in Jersey. I live in Ohio. Da, 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 da. And it was like, for him, coming from the continent, to be able to come to America and to see that. And then he was like, he's seen some people from Kenya. Mm. He's seen people from Nigeria. And they like, yo, yeah, I'm out.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Love Sack and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shape them so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I heard that, and he was like, he couldn't even understand it. You know what I mean? And I feel like, going back to what you said, like, your legacy, you can't write your legacy. Your legacy is written for you, mm-hmm. right? And it's, most of the time, it's written for you by people that you don't even know, right? Like, this is something that you don't know what's going to happen 10, 15, 20 years down the line. Like, there's people that's watched the program that was in college or that was in the streets trying to figure it out. And they sat down and they learned about a business, or they learned how to buy real estate, and it changed their life. Mm. That's a fact.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? This, because I know this firsthand. This is people would tell me, like, yo, I figured this out and I bought a property and now I Airbnb it and now I'm investing in stocks and did it. And you, yo, this should change my life. Mm-hmm. It actually saved my life. Mm-hmm. Right?
I think people take that for granted on how much, number one, how much it was missing. I grew up, all my life, it wasn't there. So now that is more, right, common, because this financial literacy movement has grown legs, right? People take for granted that, bro, just a few years ago, this was completely absent. All we had was entertainment and the arts. There was no science, technology, engineer, mathematics, economic, financial, intellectual conversations that was taking place, right, on mass stages. Right, to where they like, wait a minute, black people like finances? Y'all like, I know y'all get money, I ain't know y'all like to keep money. Are y'all like building businesses? Y'all like having different high-level conversations? And it's like, yeah, but that goes to the leadership. I believe that good influence is good leadership, bad influence is bad leadership. There are a lot of influencers out there. They don't care about the impact they make. But you can't be a leader without being influential. Right, in some capacity. You have to influence people to get them to go in the right direction. And there's nobody in the entire world that should be able to look at InvestFest and what you all have built and see negativity. Now, to that point, I want to ask you, what do you think you can do better?
Well, a few things, because you could always, there's a difference between constructive criticism and being negative, right? Mm-hmm. Constructive criticism is seeing something that you think you can improve on, and I'll offer you input. I've given you input on your show. Mm-hmm. You can take the input or you can disregard the input. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you what to do. It's just, this is just my ideas. Now, what would be negative is for me to make a reaction video saying that I hate 19 Keys' show and that it's overrated and that, you know, is leading people down the wrong path. Now, you're purposely trying to destroy something that you don't even have an intent in filling in. That's the crazy thing about it, right? People will try to, they'll try to discredit you and take you off the playing board. I would respect it if it was a chess move where it was like, okay, I'm going to take 19 Keys out so I could be the next 19 Keys. I still wouldn't, I shouldn't use the respect. I can understand it because that's a strategic move. It's not something I would do, but I can understand it. Nowadays, these dudes, they'll try to take you off the chessboard just to see you off the chessboard. Mm-hmm.
Because then they don't have to compare themselves to somebody that's doing more.
But not even understanding that you leaving the chessboard is actually harmful for them.
Mm-hmm.
You've helped influencers. You've helped black men have credibility to speak. So it's like, all right, let's remove 19 Keys. Let's decredit him to the community. Okay, if he goes away today, I'm not benefiting from that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually hurt. Because now less people is going to even have faith. Less people is going to even want to be interested. I'm not going to get spillover, right? So I'm actually hurting myself. That's the interesting part about jealousy. A person will actually hurt themselves, right? In this process, they actually hurt themselves. Sometimes they actually kill themselves.
Mm-hmm. If you're thinking from a place of jealousy, you're already thinking short-sighted. You're not thinking long-term vision.
Exactly. But to answer your point, as far as, and this is feedback that even we just have internally, you'll always try to get better. So when you run in business, it's important to look to see what you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
You already know what you've done good. And that's how I always look at it. Like, it's like sports. Like, we won by 20. How come we didn't win by 30? How come we didn't win by 30? We did some things that came up short. So logistics, we hired a whole logistics team this year because that was an issue. As far as nobody should have to wait online for an hour to get into a venue, right? But that's because there was a logistics issue. So we said, okay, we have to actually put resources and we hire a logistics team. We have early check-in. We have better communication with speakers, right? That was the issue. Like, some speakers wasn't fully communicated with. So now we have to have more resources on the ground, more resources that are making this a smoother transition process, right? As far as even drilling down and really making sure that education is even more attainable. So I was like, okay, now we got to have more workshops,
mm-hmm.
more one-person presentations,
mm-hmm.
right? That's something that we did. We have to adapt to the times. We got three things this year, workshops on artificial intelligence.
Mm.
Not one, three, because that's important. I mean, we need to make sure people understand this, right? Then the give back, you know? Like, we've done Nipsey Hussle business grant, right? Shout out to Sam, shout out to Adam, shout out to JP. $100,000 pitch competition. That's something that we've never done before. And that was something that we wanted to actually incentivize the education process, but also actually be able to empower other people. And when you look at something like, we wouldn't put somebody's name on something if it wasn't directly blessed by the family.
Mm.
So we had to get the blessings from his family and work with his family. Like, we don't take that lightly. I'm not going to put Tupac's name on something. I'm not going to just put big, like, you put somebody like Nipsey Hussle, he means something to not just the culture, but to entrepreneurs. When I look at Nip, I look at somebody who, to me, he gave me that entrepreneurship vibe and to hustle and motivate,
yeah.
even more than his music. I like the music, but I respect the entrepreneurship. Mm. I respect the hustle. I respect the grind aspect of it. So it's like, we felt like that was the perfect thing to have the Nipsey Hussle Business Grant pitch competition for InvestFest. We got Don Peebles coming this year. He's going to have lending, up to $20 million of lending from his bank that he actually is operating, right, to actually be able to give loans in real time, right? We're going to have a variety of different things that, you know, we rolled out. So, yeah, the big names, of course, that's always going to be there. But how do we have more impact as far as give back?
Mm-hmm.
These are things. We got an HBCU ticket giveaway, right? We wanted to make sure that HBCU students was there. They might not be fully ready to activate on buy a home when they're 19 years old, but they need to be in a room where they can connect and be inspired and see somebody like you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody might be a freshman in Morehouse. They might be willing to drop out. They might be, you know, they don't know where they want to do with their life. You never know what that level of inspiration, that level of education, that level of motivation outside the classroom can do for somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's important. So, you know, these are all things that, you know, we learn. And like I said, I feel like, you know, when you set precedent, you're going to make mistakes, but that's because it's never been done before.
Right.
Right? So.
Right. I mean, that's anybody that watches and see somebody starting to do something that's new, right, to be negative about something that is a mistake or just part of the growing pains. I don't even think it's so much as a mistake as far as, like, things get better over time. Right? We can look to certain companies that's been around for like 100 plus years, 50 years, 20, 30, 40 years. They've been sued probably a million times. They messed up a million times. They still here to this day. I mean, Apple has been sued for doing just downright criminal things. And we're going to go buy an Apple phone, no problem.
No problem.
Amazon been sued Meta. For all kind of issues. Meta, they had to have a mental health, you know, announcement, you know what I'm saying, in New York because of that. It's like these companies get a million and one chances. You feel me? And we still going to support them and don't think about it.
Well, you know, that's a good point. I hate to cut you off, but I really want to drill this down because it's like, as Black people, we have become familiar to deal with failure from white companies,
right.
White people, white establishment, right? And we take it. So when McDonald's has a recall and they have fake meat, I'm just throwing this out there, but I'm pretty sure that probably has happened. We don't stop eating McDonald's.
Not at all. Right?
When Meta has a $100 billion settlement with the government because they sold our data to Netflix, that doesn't stop us from using Instagram or watching Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
When Apple has to pay lawsuits every single year because they have purposely slowed down iPhones and they have, you know, purposely made it hard for Samsung users to connect with iPhone. This is documented.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a problem.
Humane Pen that just came out because they super recent. Rabbit, 2 physical AI, and they found out that it was just ChatGPT installed on there. They don't get called out, and then that's not going to affect that venture capital world for individuals like that getting funded whatsoever.
Or even if they do get called out, that doesn't stop the flow.
Nah.
It's like
you're looking for the next one already.
Peace, family. 19 Keys reporting live. I wanted to let you all know about a giveaway that we're doing for Invest Fest. I have 5 general admission tickets, and I have 5 VIPs, and I have 1 giveaway for a one-on-one coaching session with me. All you got to do is join High Level Club. Comment High Level. Apply today. Do not want to miss VIP. You do not want to miss Invest Fest, and you definitely don't want to miss the one-on-one with me. Come tap in with the gods. Peace to the family.